And we are off and running live here on a Monday in Nashville. Nick Hale and Ron Slay with you on 104.5 The Zone. We are with you for the next 2 hours as we take you up until 12 o'clock today, leading you into Blaine and Mickey. And folks, it looks like in Nashville, we're going on a little two-hour sleigh ride today. What's up,
Nick,
man?
Yes, sir. What's up, Nick, man? Glad to be here, man. And excited, anticipating it. I hope the people are tapped in and lock the door. Stay right there. Don't touch your dial. Lock the door. Let's roll, baby.
I know you got a little pre-show warm-up with J-Mart and Ramon. Just make sure, as I said pre-show, you send the right paperwork down to the finance department so you get compensated. All right?
No doubt about that. They wanted me to come out, you know, to do the Tennessee basketball. We all fly. So I threw it a glass and hammered it home just to get the crowd ready.
I like it. All right, the phone number is always 615-737-1045 to get involved on the show. You can follow Ron on Twitter at RonSlay35. I am at Nick Kale. We are loaded today. More Vols drama. We will get to some hoops, but we got to begin with Super Bowl 55. It is now set. Tom Brady going for number 7 in his own home stadium of Raymond James Stadium. Aaron Rodgers, meanwhile, still stuck on 1. It's going to be the Bucks and the Chiefs. And you think about it, you got the GOAT against maybe the guy that can challenge him for his throne. But yesterday, Ron, I mean, it started with the NFC Championship game, Tampa Bay 31-26. And look, I was dead wrong, Ron. I thought the Bucks would lose. How dare I go against Tom Brady? I deserve everything that comes my way.
I said the same thing, Nick. You know, I came into it, and if I was a betting man, I was betting on Aaron Rodgers the way he's been playing. He's having an MVP season. He had this guy, Devontae Adams, back and healthy and rolling. Other guys starting to come along. And I thought that running game would neutralize, you know, that pass rush of the Bucks. But, man, I guess Tom Brady had a different thought. You know, he's back in his pasture. He's got another GOAT coming to visit, a young GOAT coming to visit. But one thing for sure, man, you can never count Tom Brady out, man. Somehow, some way, he always finds a way. And even if that's with a little help from, you know, zebras roaming the pastures. But one thing for sure, man, he got back. You know what I mean? Different team, different personnel, different coach, same formula. And he's right back to it, man. So it's impressive. You know, you got to give props where props are due.
No, it really is. I mean, you're talking about a guy who decides to leave New England after basically 2 decades playing for the greatest coach, arguably of all time, maybe in any sport. And you saw, I mean, New England just fumbled around, hung around at that 500 for a while with Cam, and then it all fell apart. And yet here's Tom Brady heating up again. You mentioned it, new coach, new teammates, new players, new city. Oh, by the way, in a pandemic year where you don't get the same preparation. It's right. I just throw my hands up and I'm thinking, dude, if he wins another one and gets to 7, I mean, he might surpass like Michael Jordan for the greatest team sport athlete of all time. He's already eclipsed football and the quarterback position. He's chasing greats now in other sports.
Hey, man, totally. And I think that's, you got to start putting him on a Mount Rushmore of all athletes, like you said, not just football, man. And you look at it, man, you have him going through a process where he's missing a guy like Antonio Brown, who he really believes in and who started to come on for Tampa Bay and still gets there. You see guys like Gronk. I think it was a great scheme by Byron Leftwich. He had Gronk blocking a lot in the first half. Then you see him slip him out in the second half, get passes played to him. So it's. I wonder how much of that is Leftwich, how much of that is Tom, because you did see that the strategy changed throughout the season. You know, they wasn't using the tight ends as much, you know, and I don't know if that was something to – look forward to later on in the season. Didn't want to tip their hand to the league, but it worked, man, and you got them right back there. And I'm really impressed because you look at teams like you said, Michael Jordan. You look at the Derek Jeters and the Yankees. You know, you look at all these guys that you hold them up there. But what those teams did, they kept their guy. This is a guy that left New England. He left a terrific coach. This is Mike leaving Phil Jackson, showing that he can get it done. This is Shaq leaving Phil Jackson, showing he can get it done. You know, so it's you got to put him on there, man. You got to put him on that Mount Rushmore, and it's very impressive. But the question is, though, how does A-Rod get over the hump, man? Like, if your heart goes out to anyone, it's almost like an Andy Reid situation. You know, you start to feel a certain way, man, about him. Like, come on, let's get A-Rod one more. So I'm interested to see what steps they take to move forward.
Yeah, it's amazing, too, is just so many great quarterbacks. I mean, we see Jim Kelly, Dan Marino finished with no Super Bowls.
Right.
Drew Brees is riding off into the sunset. He only got one. Aaron Rodgers at 36, 37 years old, still sitting on one. And here's Brady going for seven. It was amazing to me. Like, I see on Twitter today, I guess it was on Instagram that Brady put it up. Brady and Gronk getting off of the plane, walking out towards the airport with Diddy with We Ain't Going Nowhere.
You gotta love it. You gotta love it.
Brady's wearing like a lavender coat that looks like something Giselle picked out at a high-end boutique store. And then there's Gronk pulling the sweatshirt up with the NFC Championship shirt.
Hey, and they ain't going nowhere for sure, man. I tell you what, they also put a picture out of when he first went to the Super Bowl versus when this time going to the Super Bowl. I'm going to tell you, Giselle did a beautiful job of transforming that young man. So salute to Giselle for getting him on a different level. He's Benjamin Buttons all over again.
I also thought, too, yesterday in that game that Green Bay's coaching staff just got absolutely worked. I thought Bruce Arians, Byron Leftwich, and Todd Bowles just completely outcoached and outclassed Matt LaFleur and Mike Pettine yesterday. And I know you and I talked yesterday, probably towards the end of the game, and I thought the Packers just totally, totally botched not only the end of the first half, where they had the chance to steal back-to-back possessions and scores and really get back into the game against Tampa Bay. Then they allow that home run touchdown pass to Scotty Miller, of all people. Mm-hmm. Who, like, if Scotty Miller walked into a Starbucks in Tampa Bay, nobody would know who he is. He'd be charged full price.
Exactly.
But then at the end of the game, Matt LaFleur, Ron, you know, he had the opportunity to go for the touchdown down eight. He kicks a field goal to cut it to five. You're basically up against the clock. You have your timeouts, but you need a three and out. I mean, Ron, these coaches spend 18 hours a day at the facility and they still do head scratching decisions. That was a terrible decision.
That was a horrible, horrible decision. I'm going to be honest, because you take the 3 points and you're down a touchdown. You go for it, regardless of whatever it is. You miss it, you're down a touchdown. You go for the three, you're down a touchdown. You get an incomplete pass, you're down a touchdown. So come on, man. You can't play it safe all the time, especially when you're right there. And then you've got a guy that you can believe in. This isn't a young guy, not to look ahead, but Josh Allen, you know, a young guy that's never been there. You got Aaron Rodgers. Put the ball in his hands, man. If I'm a guy and I'm the leader of this team, the captain of this team, and I know I got it going, just minus a few drop passes. Other than that, he was putting the ball on the money, you know, and isn't like he did the week before. But, man, I'm taking a chance with Aaron Rodgers. And then, like you said, as far as the defense goes, you don't give Brady 8 seconds, and then you play zero coverage? Like, come on. And it looked like King was looking like he was supposed to have some type of help. But, man, you don't get beat over the top. And like you said, Scotty Miller, I tweeted out, you can't get beat that way. And then a guy replied to me and said, it was Scotty Miller. Who is that? Like, it's not Tyreek Hill or somebody. Like, come on, man. It's Scotty Miller. Okay. But man, kudos to them. And they got it done, but you cannot give opportunities like that. They got the momentum coming out of the second half with turnovers, got back in the game. You got momentum on your side. Don't give it back to a great guy like Tom Brady.
Yeah, I'm with you. And I don't want to hear any more from local Titans media or national media about Matt LaFleur, some boy wonder, whiz kid genius. I mean, that was just coaching malpractice. If I'm Aaron Rodgers, I'd have been like, you know what? We're going to take a timeout here. Hold on, Matt. Man, there's no way against Tom Brady we're kicking field goals. Like, you remember the old adage,
you know what?
In the Untouchables, you don't bring a knife to a gunfight. You don't settle for three against goats.
There you go. It's that simple, Nick. And I look at it, man. I wonder in football, how many times does it happen? Because I know in basketball, it's 10 seconds on the clock. Coaches don't like to call timeouts. They let the player go on down with it and come up with the play on the fly. As a leader of that team, how many times does it happen? The coach is saying, no, we're not going for it. We're kicking three. And the quarterback says, now, guys, stay on the field. We're going to run this play regardless. I mean, in that situation, I'm sure Aaron Rodgers wanted to do that. You can look at his facial expression during the post game and know that he had different thoughts. So I wonder how many times that happens.
almost as befuddling as Vrabel deciding to punt it on 4th and 2 just a couple of weeks ago. AFC Championship, Kansas City beats Buffalo 38-24. I guess it's safe to say the Chiefs are no longer bored, no longer going through the motions, because I think Travis Kelce and Tyreek Hill caught a few more passes while we were sleeping overnight, because they were just a total juggernaut against the Buffalo team that's probably ahead of schedule. Josh Allen had a fantastic year, and they will certainly be back.
Yeah, without a doubt. You know, that's going to be something to definitely to tap into. But one thing I did like about that game up front, in the trenches from the first series, it was nasty. And the game ended nasty. You know, both lines, as far as the defensive line and the offensive line, whoever can control the line of scrimmage, they showed that they could win that game. And that's what I think you got to see out of Kansas City. They held their composure a little while, and then Buffalo just cracked. Buffalo crack. You know, it's a great defense, but with weapons, man, it's tough, man. I think Buffalo is a really good team. They ran up against a juggernaut in Pat Mahomes, who has it rolling, and some things maybe just can't stop. I'm going to be honest. It's some things are inevitable, and this was one of them.
Yeah, it's going to be so fun to see Kansas City and Tampa Bay. We'll have plenty of time to get into that and preview that game, because we do have 2 weeks until that will get underway. I just thought at the end of the game, you know, the referees kind of lost control. Tempers were spiking at a ridiculous rate. And I get it. You know, Buffalo probably thought they got jobbed on a few calls. Right. But I thought the way the Bills handled that at the end, a little bit of a disgrace. But that being said, I'm not surprised. I mean, this is a fan base. And I know the fans are different from the players. But you got a fan base that throws themselves through flaming tables in parking lots and pours mustard on their face. They're a little out of it to begin with.
The Bills Mafia is definitely out of it, you know, and I think that trickles down to the players. I saw my brother Ramon tweeted out, man, those guys that got into that free playoff game. So you don't get your normal game check. You get a different check for their playoff game. So I guess their wives or girlfriends or family, they'll be a little salty at them when they come back. But, hey, maybe they can buy a fold-up table and dive through that and everything be cool.
All right, 615-737-1045 is the number. Nick Kale and VFL Ron Slay with you here on a Monday. We'll come back, and we got to get to the latest on the Vols. Drama, drama, drama. We've got vetting. We've got reports. We've got airplanes in other cities that are touching down in areas that are coaching hotbeds. We'll give you all the latest, what happened over the last 2 days, and what is still going on right now as Tennessee looks for their next head football coach. Nick Kale and Ron Slay live here on a Monday on 104.5 The Zone.
And smile for me. Tell me that you'll wait for me. Hold me like you'll never let me go. I'm leaving on a jet plane. I don't
All right, 1021, welcome back in. Great to have you guys in here on a Monday edition of the show. Nick Kale and VFL Ron Slay here on 104.5 The Zone as we take you up until 12 o'clock. 615-737-1045, the number if you guys want to jump in on the conversation. We just got done going through the NFC and the AFC Championship games from yesterday. Super Bowl 55 is set, but now we move on to things a little closer to home. And Ron, I would say that the last 36 hours could only be described as just another typical day, another time in front, you know, another time stretch and period of time where Tennessee football is kind of going through the typical channels that Tennessee likes to go through. And that's not a shot at the new administration, because clearly the last couple of days, last week, it looks like the institution is well on their way to getting things right. But over the last couple of hours, we've seen a bunch of reports. And I want to go back to when I saw this yesterday on Sunday, reports coming out that the Parker executive search firm had vetted a handful of possible coaching candidates that range from PJ Fleck, the head coach at Minnesota, Tony Elliott, the OC at Clemson, all the way on down to the Sonny Dykes of the world, head coach at SMU. What was your reaction to seeing any of those names? Because for me, I was less than impressed.
Yeah, I mean, those are names, especially, and I'm speaking of all, for all of all nation right now, those are names that jump off the page at you. You know, you're looking for the big name hire, the big name splash that can keep people going on, you know. So, but I will say now, this has been an AD who is through and through embodies what ADs embody. And I'm meaning that coming from a family of sports guys, you know, youngest brother, you know, when you see a guy, you know what it off the old block, especially when it's been successful. You got Cutcliffe at Duke, who was asked, I believe, by Peyton, who should we go and get? And he said, get someone just like our AD, and they go and find his son. You know, then you look, everybody knows the history of it, but you have to, in a sense, take his word for it. You know, like he said, when he came in, he was hired to do a job. He needs the opportunity to do that job, you know, and it might not be the sexy hire. You know, a lot of people have arms open for Lane, and I'm going to be honest, immediately I did too, you know, but when you think about it, the way we were left in shambles, you know, and left at the altar in a sense, I don't really want to go through that again, man. What if a NFL job comes available and he bolts again for that, you know? And, you know, he's a guy that's, you know, it's kind of erratic. You know, we've got to see that through his tweets and everything. So, I mean, we want the guy to make the splash, but I would love more consistency more than anything, you know, going forward with this search.
Yeah, the PJ Fleck thing, and we're going to be joined by Chip Scoggins, who covers the Minnesota Golden Gophers for the Minneapolis Star Tribune. He'll join us coming up in about 20 minutes time. The PJ Fleck thing just leaves me feeling, and this might be an entry level reaction, and if it is, so be it. But the similarities are, you know, you can't deny them. PJ Fleck feels a lot like Butch Jones. I think PJ Fleck could be Butch Jones with a nice sweater vest and some sharp Oakleys that he likes to wear on the sideline. And it's not a shot at him. You know, he could very well end up being a solid head coach. But if you look at the track record of both guys, PJ Fleck, Butch Jones, they both started in the MAC. PJ Fleck was at Western Michigan. Butch was at Central Michigan. PJ Fleck went 8-5, 8-5, 13-1. Butch went 8-6, 8-5, 11-2. Very, very similar comparisons. Then they go to a Big Ten or a Big East program. PJ Fleck goes to Minnesota. He's 5-7, 7-6, 11-2. We'll throw out this past year, he was 3-4. Big Ten got started late, pandemic, whatever. And then you look at Butch at Cincinnati, 4-8, 10-3, 9-3, when they used to be in the old Big East. So the similarities in their career trajectory are undeniable. I mean, this feels like if PJ Fleck would get the job, and I don't even know that he will.
Right.
I just look at it like, okay, I mean, what are we going to go 8-4 and 9-3 for a couple of years? And, you know, maybe the stars align. We get to Atlanta one time. I don't really feel like there's a ton of upside to that hire.
And that's the thing we're bringing a coach in like we did Butch Jones. And you say you're spot on, Nick. This is a carbon copy of Butch Jones. I think the thing with that, when bringing a coach in like this, you don't want him to get starstruck when he gets under those lights. Now, those lights in Thompson Bowling in Neyland Stadium are a little different than being in Minnesota. It's a different type of pressure that comes with that. You have to be a man that can manage your coaches. You can manage your players. And when need be, make a call that may not be the popular call and stand on it. I think that's what Butch had in mind that he could do. But coming from Cincinnati, it's not that much pressure, honestly. Anything that 8-4, 8-5, 8-6, that's great records at Cincinnati, you know. But you look at that for a guy, Tom Herman at Texas, where the lights are bright also, he gets fired when he goes with a very successful season, you know. So that's the same thing. I know Tennessee has been down the last couple of years. We're looking for a coach to get in there and shake things up, but you got to have somebody that can handle the lights, man. And I'm not sure. I know 11-1, rowed a boat. That was beautiful in the Big Ten. But coming to the SEC, this is a tad bit different, man. You got the NFL, then you got the SEC in my estimation. So you got to be ready for it. And I hope he is if he gets that opportunity.
There's a big difference between playing on the third Saturday in October against Alabama as opposed to playing for the little brown jug against
Michigan.
Talk
that talk.
Yes, you know what I'm saying? Like,
yes, sir.
You know, no disrespect to the Big Ten, but you know, it's kind of second fiddle to the SEC.
Yeah, you can play with Paul Bunyan's axe all you want to, but you're going down there to the swamp, man. It's a little bit different when it gets hot and heated down there.
Hey, if you want to play with Paul's axe, that's up to you. It's the 90s, man. People are different these days.
There you go.
Sonny Dykes, Tony Elliott, the other names that were being vetted. Sonny Dykes failed at Cal. He was 10 games below 500. He's a little bit above 500 at places like SMU and Louisiana Tech. Mm-hmm. I don't give that report any credence whatsoever. And then you have Tony Elliott, the Clemson offensive coordinator, 41 years old, young guy. He was the co-OC with Deshaun Watson, and then he took over as the OC at the end of the Trevor Lawrence run in 2019 and 2020. Look, I think you could do a lot worse. I think Sonny Dykes would be worse. I mean, honestly, between Tony Elliott, Sonny Dykes, and PJ Fleck, I'm a little bit more intrigued by Tony Elliott than any of them, just simply because I feel like I know what I would get with PJ Fleck, and you pick somebody off of that Dabo Sweeney tree. I mean, I don't think it's terrible.
Yeah, I totally get it. And what you have to look at with Tony Elliott, he has a good track record with his peers, as far as his coaches around him and the players. You know, with Jeremy Pruitt, I think, you know, coming off that Saban tree, we looked at it as, man, we're getting a guy that's been with Saban, that's won. Look how great their defense was, that secondary. And we can see if that can translate. With Tony Elliott, I think it's a difference because you heard from coaches being in the room with Jeremy Pruitt. They didn't really hit on the same accord, you know. So it was a clash of styles. I think with Tony Elliott, he's a younger guy. And then you have to weigh in the recruiting aspect of it. Think about the guys that's going to come with him. You know, I think Kentucky, when you look at basketball, isn't the same when they lost their assistant coach. So now you see them recruiting the same type of guys. I think with Clemson, you get those guys that come with him, those star athletes, those five stars. But you get the 3 and 4 stars like they have on their roster that turn into something, such as what Rick Barnes did for Tennessee basketball. So I'm head over heels for Tony Elliott. If that was that would be my pick, just straight out of the gate. No thinking about it. I would take him, man. You coming from a tree that people are hungry. You know, this isn't a revolving door at Clemson. This is guys hungry, and we should get them early rather than late. So that's my take.
Yeah, no doubt about it. I think there's also this culture that Dabo has created where it's different than an Urban Meyer. It's different than a Nick Saban. You know, it's a real fun culture. They get after it. They win. You know, Dabo Sweeney every year during the playoff selection show is throwing a pizza party. You know, Dabo is a little quirky, so he's definitely a different dude. I'd be intrigued by Tony Elliott far more than Sonny Dykes. PJ Fleck, feels like Butch. All right, Nick Hale, Ron Slay here on the 104.5 The Zone. So here is one of the latest updates, and this came out from Brian Rice from WNML in Knoxville this morning.
Here we go.
And this is where now all of a sudden I'm starting to wonder if the names we just alluded to were nothing more than smokescreens to throw us off the Vols' scent. Because Brian Rice from WNML tweets, "I can't say for certain that Tennessee has its man, but I can say that two candidates that were closely vetted by Parker were informed last night that they will not be receiving formal interviews. So of those three guys we mentioned, Fleck, Elliott, and Dykes, according to Brian Rice, two of those three will not receive a formal interview. Two others that have been linked to the job by the media have not been contacted at all." So all those names we mentioned last week, the Tom Hermans, the Gus Malzahns, on down the list, Lane Kiffin, you name it. So now all of a sudden it's like, all right, start scratching off a couple of names here. We're starting to do a little subtraction, but of those names we heard earlier that we just talked about, maybe Tennessee's just putting that out, or those reports out there, just to kind of get us going in one direction, and they might be looking the complete opposite direction.
You know what that sounded like to me, Nick? That sounded like, you know what? You're coming home. I got dinner on the stove, and you've got beans. Now, they don't say what type of beans, but you know you're going to get a nice source of protein. Could be pinto beans, could be baked beans, could be white beans, could be... It ain't no telling what kind of beans it could be. But I think, man, overall, you know what you're going to get. And I think if you go off the track record of what AD White has done, you take that and you take it, you take it in hand and you stand on it, man. And I think that's what we have to do as fans. Like, it's going to be all kind of reports coming out. Now, I'm going to say one thing for sure. I think it's a first. Twitter told me I couldn't refresh my feed anymore. So that must be a new one for me. So I don't know if everybody else's Twitter is acting like that. I must have refreshed it too many times. But it's going to be interesting, man. And I think you're right on with saying, look over here, and then you got something coming out the back door. So we'll see, man. I believe in the hire of the AD, and I believe he can get the job done.
And I think the other thing we have to keep in mind here, when we're talking about all these candidates, whether they are big time names, up and comers, guys that are, you know, less than appealing, you hear that name and you roll your eyes. If you look, I believe Andy Staples had this, and he pointed this out a couple of hours ago. If you go through the top 20 in college football today of all the programs, there's not one specific blueprint for getting the right guy. You could go with a former head coach. You could go with a first-time coach. You could go with a defensive guy. You could go with a former OC, a young up-and-comer. You know, some of these guys that are 35, 37 years old that have been play callers. Right. There's not one specific blueprint where you say, okay, I got to have that. I think we're seeing in college football. Now, some of these programs that hire first-timers are in better shape than Tennessee.
Right.
You know, like a Ryan Day goes to Ohio State and takes over for Urban Meyer. That program was in pretty good shape, and Ohio State has been recession-proof for 40 years. So
right.
There's no one specific blueprint, Ron.
Right, you're exactly right. That's one of the programs that hasn't faltered over the years. And you see that, man. And they don't have people, when a coaching change happens, they don't have players leaving and jumping in transfer portals and all of that. So, and they also, honestly, and this is a knock on Vol Nation, they don't have people tweeting and running coaches off. Like, as appealing as this job is, the fan base can be a little dramatic at times and kind of run people off. So I don't think that's good at all. I think him, the AD coming in and saying immediately, let's keep all the negative energy away. I think that's big. You know, Tennessee stands on what it stands on. Yes, we're trying to get back to that 98 success. But at the same time, you do have to have a breath of fresh air coming in. And I think we got that with the AD, and I think we'll get that with the coach, whoever that coach may be. Hopefully it's a new, fresh coach. PJ Fleck, man, if he gets that opportunity, more kudos to him. I'm going to take the guy from Clemson who's always in the national championship.
I would push back a little bit on what you said about the way Vol Twitter can be with the negativity. And look, I get it. It can be a little toxic at times.
Right.
But when I'm hiring a coach, or if I am a candidate, or I end up becoming that head coach, I'm making seven figures. I'm coaching for a traditional SEC power that clearly has lost its way over the last 14 years, but can get back to where they are. You know what? I got to be strong enough to say, you know what? I ain't letting Twitter break me.
Right.
You know what? If I have Twitter, I'll mute you. I'll block you. And if I don't have social media, more kudos to you, because you don't need to see all that garbage. I'd be like, you know what, dude, if Twitter's too rough for you, you know, I don't know what to tell you.
Yeah, and I think that's what we found in this AD. You know, you look back, like we talked before coming on air with Doug Dickey. He was a guy that could give 2 cents about what anybody said. He was going to do it how he did it, and it was successful in basketball, football, baseball, Lady Vols, volleyball, the list goes on and on. So with this AD coming in, he's not like – some of the past ADs, you know, kind of shaky in what their decisions are and letting people, you know, push them in a way to make that decision. He's a guy that firmly stands on what he believes in, and his blueprint has worked. So I agree with you. I agree with you on that.
615-737-1045. I mean, I get a lot of nasty stuff tweeted at me, and I ain't making seven figures. Yeah, I'm still on Twitter. You're not writing me off.
I'm a three-figure guy, man, and I'm still blocking people. That block button works now.
Three-figure.
Yeah, well, yeah, don't even worry. Don't add it up. I'm just telling you three.
That's a good point. And the last thing is, you know, now everybody, you know, it's amazing we can track airplanes this day and age, right?
Right.
There's apps to see who's taking off from what airport and what private charter and landing in what nice American city. So the plane is in the Charlotte, North Carolina area. So all of a sudden people start thinking Joe Brady, Will Healy, you know, Tony Elliott, not too far away from South Carolina. So I'm not going to go back crazy and lose my mind over planes. But it is interesting that some fans are so obsessed, and rightfully so, fan is short for fanatic, that we're now tracking flights.
Nick, guess what? I wasn't one of those guys, but as of 6 o'clock this morning, I happen to be one of those guys, man. So I can, man, listen, it's the anticipation of it. It's the anxiety to want to be great again. It's want to be the upper echelon. It's where you expect to be. So anything that comes out, man, the AD ran out of gas on his way to the Charlotte Hornets arena to meet with a Carolina Panthers coach who was related to a South Carolina, like anything we're grasping onto it. So it's like grasping for straws right now. And anything they throw out, guess who's taking the bait?
Us.
Ball Nation. Yes, yes, you know it.
Because we're talking about it. All right, coming up next here, Nick Hale, Ron Slay, 104.5 The Zone. We talked about P.J. Fleck. He was probably the biggest name that was vetted by the Parker executive search firm from that report that we talked about for the last 15 minutes. We'll get a little deeper perspective on P.J. Fleck. Chip Scoggins covers the Minnesota Golden Gophers for the Minneapolis Star Tribune. We'll talk to him on the other side, Nick and VFL Ron Slay, here on a Monday, trying to make sense of everything in Knoxville on 104.5 The Zone. .45 Welcome back in. Nick and Ron Slay here on a Monday, 104.5 The Zone, as we roll till 12 o'clock today. Of course, Tennessee Volunteers continuing on with their coaching search. Who will be the next guy to follow Jeremy Pruitt and try to get this program back, not only to respectability, but back to competing for SEC championships and maybe making some college football playoffs. There's a report out there over the last couple of days that the Parker executive search firm, which has been hired by Tennessee to help assist in the next coaching search, has vetted a handful of guys from Sonny Dykes to Tony Elliott to most notably P.J. Fleck, the head coach at Minnesota. And here to get a little deeper dive on P.J. Fleck is Chip Scoggins, who covers the Gophers for the Minneapolis Star Tribune. Chip, we appreciate a couple of minutes here on this Monday. How are you?
Great. Thanks for having me.
Good to have you in. So, you know, when we saw this report, my instant reaction was it would be a decent hire if, in fact, they go down the road of P.J. Fleck. You're much closer to the situation. Have you heard anything on the P.J. Fleck Tennessee connection? Any rumors, reports, rumblings in Minneapolis? And tell us just what you can tell us and what you know about P.J. Fleck.
Yeah, I was texting with our beat writer who covers them on a day-to-day basis earlier today, and she was under the assumption that she's not sure how serious it is, but it makes sense to me. And I'm a Tennessee guy. I was texting with Ron last night, and I know, you know, just a mess that the program is in right now. And PJ makes sense on a number of levels. One, he's been a head coach. He has that experience, and he's been in places that needed to be cleaned up. You know, the job he did at Western Michigan and rebuilding that program to going undefeated in Cotton Bowl and then coming here to Minnesota, and they had some off-the-field issues that they were dealing with, and really to get them to a level where in 2019 they went 11 games and beat Auburn in the Outback Bowl. But he's just turned 40 years old, energetic. The players and recruits team, they gravitate to him. You know, a positive guy. He tries to connect everybody in the city. So I think on a number of levels it makes sense, but I'm not sure if he's willing to go to a place like that because he still is building something here, and I'm not sure he wants to start over and really just kind of inherit that mess that whoever takes that program is going to walk into.
Hey, how you doing, Chip Ron Slay here, man? Good to see
Ron,
you.
Good to talk to you.
Yeah, no doubt. One thing I got a question for. We brought Butch Jones in, and me and Nick were talking about it earlier. And I felt like he was a little starstruck under the lights. You know, I know Big Ten football is Big Ten football, but in that same accord, SEC football is a little different also. Bringing in a guy like P.J. Fleck, do you think he could handle, you know, that pressure that comes with being SEC and the fan base wanting to be on the upper echelon? You've been a Tennessee guy. You know, wanting to be in that upper echelon of Alabama and Florida and then teams of that nature. Do you think he could handle that pressure?
I think he could, but Ron, that is the one question that it is a different animal than what he's experienced at Western Michigan. You know, not a lot of scrutiny there on that program. And even here, it is a Big Ten job, but you're in a pro sports town, and you're always second fiddle to the Vikings. And so it's not a situation where you're the only show in town, and there's a lot of people only paying attention to your team. Now, that might be part of the thing that endears him to it, too. That might be attractive to him to go to a place where you are the only show in town, because no matter how good they are here, and they definitely captured this metropolitan area last year with what they did with winning 11 games and beating Penn State and having ESPN game day here for the first time in their program history. But the Vikings are still the top team, and then they're still kind of that divided allegiance. And so I don't worry about – I don't think the pressure or anything like that, he couldn't handle that or it'd be too big for him. I don't think it'd be that because I just think his personality – he has a big personality, and he's the first one to tell you. He said in his opening press conference when he got hired here, and he mentioned it many times since then, that he's not for everybody. I mean, his personality is not for everybody, and there's people here that just will never buy into his salesman, and that's what he is. He sells. He's constantly selling, and some people think it's an act, and some people just don't like that approach. Not everybody. There's, you know, he has a huge fan base here, but there are just some people, and he knows it, that just will never get on board with the way he coaches.
Chip Scoggins, Minneapolis Star Tribune, joining Nick and Ron here on 104.5 The Zone. Funny you talk about the sales approach. And, you know, here in Tennessee, when we had Butch Jones, there was a lot of cliches. People didn't like the cliches. When James Franklin was at Vanderbilt, he had a salesman approach. Some people didn't like that as well. So interesting that you point that out. I'm curious as to what happened last year with the Gophers, because, you know, coming off of an 11-2 season, I think a lot of people thought Minnesota would have a better year. Tanner Morgan was back at quarterback. I know the Big Ten got started late during the whole pandemic and the way the whole conference handled everything, but they went 3-4. So it kind of feels like the timing would be a little odd. Or are you looking at last year as just kind of a pandemic blip in the radar type season, and that was not really indicative of what PJ Fleck is building?
Yeah, I think it's more the latter there. I just think a lot of – I don't know if it's fair to draw concrete conclusions based off a pandemic season. And that's not to say that they didn't deserve criticism, because they didn't play well at times this year. But I also watched them play a game where they didn't have 25 kids there. And so I'm not sure that you can really say this is who they are. This was a huge step back for what PJ is building. He is a really good recruiter. You know, they lost Tyler Johnson to the NFL. They lost Antoine Winfield Jr. to the NFL, two guys that are going to be playing in the Super Bowl in a couple weeks. They had to rebuild their defense. They lost their offense coordinator. So that, they had some changes, and that's not to make excuses, because they had guys that just didn't play as well as they did the previous year, including the quarterback. But I do think when you look at just the foundation of what he's built in terms of recruiting and structure, and academics are really solid now, and just the systems that they run. I think, you know, I'm more likely to give them a pass on last year on the 3-4 and say, okay, let's see what they do next year when things are hopefully back to normal.
Yeah, Chip, speaking on that recruiting aspect, down here in the South, in Tennessee, Alabama, Georgia, Florida, you know, even South Carolina every now and then, but then you also have Clemson. You got the Florida States. You got Deion Sanders making noise at Jackson State. You know, with guys being recruited, you say he's a great recruiter. With him not being in this part of the country and guys being familiar with who they know as far as picking schools to go to, do you think he's able to come down here, make a splash, and recruit, or is it a building process if he was to get this job at Tennessee?
Yeah, I think he would, Ron, because the thing about Minnesota is football here, we just don't produce a ton of Division I kids. On average, probably 7 or 8 per year, and not all those kids are Big Ten caliber, so they have to go outside our state's borders and recruit. And they've actually done a really good job in Georgia. Rashad Bateman, their All-American receiver, who's going to be a top 15 pick in the draft this spring, is from Georgia. He got him out of there. And they get kids out of Texas, out of California. And so he tries to recruit nationally. He's big about brand, and I think they're very creative and aggressive in recruiting. You know, they're a top 25, top 30 if you go by the star rankings and all that, which is, you know, in the SEC, that puts you dead last probably. But right. For where Minnesota is and where they have been historically, that's a big upgrade. And so I always wondered if he had that SEC brand and the Tennessee size and everything that goes with it. I think it would be a nice marriage there because he's very aggressive in recruiting. I mean, very aggressive. And so, you know, he connects with those kids. I mean, he's, like I said, he turned 40 in November. And so, you know, he's not super young, but he's not old. But he has this a way about connecting with kids that has just made him, you know, a really talented recruiter.
Yeah, I know he was. He recruited a guy I was coaching over at Innsworth High School here in Nashville, private school, and he recruited Austin Henderson to come play tight end. So I know he has an eye for talent, and he dabbles down here in Tennessee a little bit. So I'll be interested to see if he can pull that off, man. That'll be really good. And I like what you said. You know, he's big on branding. I think that catches everybody's eye immediately. But at the same time, with Butch Jones doing a lot of branding, I don't think we want to see the carbon copy of him coming through. So that'll be interesting.
And that's the thing, Ron. You know, Minnesota had a coach here, Tim Brewster, that was two coaches before PJ, and it was all sales, and there was no substance behind it, and it really set the program back a long way. And so, but I always, and you know, when PJ came in, and you know, I turned him the Hurricane. He was like, you know, Hurricane Fleck, because he just blew in here, and it was, I mean, it was in your face. I mean, it was aggressive and loud and energetic and positive, and people kind of pushed back and like, oh, this is Tim Brewster 2.0. But I tried to tell you, you do not go undefeated at Western Michigan and go to the Cotton Bowl by faking it if you can't coach. And you don't win 11 games at Minnesota and beat Penn State, which was the top 10 team, and really take it to Auburn and beat them in the Outback Bowl by faking it. I mean, there is substance. The guy can coach, but it's just his personality, because there are a lot of slogans and things that, you know, you guys probably have heard down there. But he can coach too. I mean, there is substance behind it.
Chip, we appreciate the time and the insight. Thank you very much.
All right, you guys have a good day. Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
Most definitely. Appreciate it, Chip. All man. Right, tell Ed Conroy I said, hey, man.
I'm a big fan, man. It's good hearing your voice. I'd like to connect
with
you.
No doubt, man. Appreciate it, brother.
There he is, Chip Scoggins, Minneapolis Star Tribune, trying to give us a little 411 on one of the at least vetted candidates, P.J. Fleck, the head coach of the Minnesota Golden Gophers. Let's come back. We'll take some calls. Open up the phone, 615-737-1045. Vols fans, you've heard from us this morning for the last 40 minutes. What do you make of a guy like P.J. Fleck, Tony Elliott, Sonny Dykes, plane landing in Charlotte? We'll take your reaction. Where's your mind at right now, Vols fans? 737-1045. Your calls when we come back. And then also some of the latest on the Titans and a little Mike Vrabel, Matt LaFleur conversation. Stay there. Nick and Ron coming back hour two, 104.5 The Zone.